Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because it's time. It's time for reparations.
So I'm sick of being a side Indian character.
LGBTIQ rights are black rights.
It's like, it's a form of cultural imperialism.
The only thing I have in common with this character is that she's black. This does not look like me.
I'm Gary Foley.
I'm Francesca Ramsey.
This is Amir Rahman.
And you're listening to The Race Card.
Welcome to The Race Card. I'm your host, Ahmed Youssef, and joining me in studio today is our very own guest host, Magan Magan. Hey, mate.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello. And before we begin, we'll be doing the acknowledgement of country. All right. We acknowledge the Kulin people as the owners of the land on which we meet, and we pay our respects to the elders, both past, present, and future. This land was never ceded in the process of colonization, occupation, and incarceration, and genocide that began over 2 centuries ago, continue to this day. And right about now, you know, we usually go into our, we're a current affairs show with a little bit of twist, blah, blah, blah. You know what? I've been thinking, that's a bit boring. We're going to do something a little bit different. This first part is what will be debuting a new segment. Yes, a new segment. A little rapid fire round, and it's called Up and Close. Oh no, I think I'm gonna rename it, Magan. It was in fairness, Magan had this name. I'm gonna call it Up Close, not Up and Close. Okay. Sorry, man. Just like I'm just editing your stuff, man.
That's fine. You're the king.
That's cool. Okay.
That's totally cool.
All right. Going first. All right. You go, and have 2 questions for me right now. And while he's saying those 2 questions, I'm gonna be under a little bit of pressure. As we debut this new segment, we'll also be having this little sound effect as I say, answer those questions. Here it is. So you heard that. So while I speak and answer the question, that will be ringing through my ears, and I have 30 seconds to answer 1 question. Listeners, do you think I can do it? Actually, wait, hold on. Yeah, it's going to be 30 seconds, 1 question. All right, let's go. Ready? And go.
All right, so the first question I have for you, Ahmed, is what is something that you did in the past or are still doing that you haven't told anyone? Not because you were keeping it a secret, but because it just hasn't come up in conversation.
All right, what have I been doing? Okay, all right. What hasn't come in conversation? I don't know. Oh, my God. All right. I used to collect Pokemons. Okay, I used to collect Pokemon cards. All right, I haven't.
Oh no!
All right. Okay. All right. I never told anyone that before. All right. I used to collect Pokemon cards when I was younger. I used to have like tons of them. All right, that was a bit traumatic. All right, I had to reveal that with all that, you know, the sound effect and how that made me feel. Like, I've got a bit of tears in my eyes. I know you can't. Stop the music. Can you please stop the music, Morgan? Why are you doing this to me? All right, that was a bit traumatic. All right, okay. What's the next question?
The second question.
Oh, wait. No, it's my turn. I want to ask a question.
Okay, go.
All right, Morgan. All right. What is one thing that... You look at me like, all right, what is one thing? Yeah, all right. So what is one thing that you always wanted to do, never have had been able to do it, and you've kept this, you don't want to tell anyone this. You can never tell anyone this, but it's a secret ambition that you want to do. All right, time starts now.
Man, hey. I don't know.
Hey, mate, time's ticking. You got 25 seconds.
What did I want that I was ashamed of?
What do you want, huh? What is it? What is it, huh?
Well,
what is
back
it,
in
huh?
Back in the day when I was a kid, I wanted to be part of Hanson.
Hanson?
Yeah, the group, the boy band that was in the 90s, you know, 3 blonde kids. I wanted to be a part of them, basically, back in the 90s, but was kind of ashamed to admit it, a little. But I'm a massive fan.
Oh my god. I still get triggers from that. Alright, so you wanted to be a Hanson boy.
Yes, I wanted to be the fourth guy. And because they were all like around my age as well. Like, so the oldest was like, I don't know, 4 years older than me. Then the youngest was like a couple years older than me. So like we were all in the same age group. And I think their music is dope from day one up until right now. So, yeah.
Like I've heard some of this music. You've shown me some of this stuff. I think they're reasonably cool.
They are.
They're pretty cool.
I think they are, man. I think they're objectively cool. Although, like, many people I know don't like them as such, but I like them.
Hey, who cares what people think? All right.
I know, right?
All right. Now, we're going to be moving on. Today, we'll be looking at the tragic news of three young black Muslim boys who were killed in the US, unfortunately. And we'll also be talking about Liz Cabbage, who says she'll be educating her teammate who did blackface. And we ask, why does she have to actually do that? Like, why? I don't know. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And we have a feature discussion on comedy. And why is it sometimes so very, very racist?
What's going on, people? This is Akala, and right now you're listening to The Race Card. Big up.
Now we're going into our Week That Was segment, where we highlight some of the most notable or infamous stories of the past week. First up, we look at the tragic story of three young black Muslim boys who were killed execution style over a week ago now. But what troubles me is that these boys, their death didn't even register to the media. The Muslim community and broadly people in general, even social media didn't blow up until at least a week. It's as if their lives weren't valued. I remember going back a year ago now when the Chapel Hill shooting happened, and there was such a social media outcry. The pressure was Muslims mobilizing on social media, talking about the lack of coverage in the media. And it went so far that you had people like Steph Curry wearing t-shirts in support of the victims of the Chapel Hill shooting. But these three young black Muslim boys, Muhammad Taha Umar, Adam Mekki, and Muhannad Tayrib, I think it's Tayrib, are yet to have their case even investigated. And when you get responses from authority like Rusty York, the city in which they were shot, in the public safety director saying things like, hopefully, you know, we'll be able to focus in on exactly what the reason was. But as I said before, no reason to believe this was any type of hate crime or focus because of their religion or the nationality whatsoever. And to just say that, you don't know. You just don't know. Why would you, like, ultimately, at that point, you know, say, hey, this is not happening. They did not die because of a hate crime. Their death was just a coincidence of them being black Muslim. And even also a coincidence that America at the moment is having this extreme Islamophobia right now, with hate crimes happening all over the place. It just happened.
I think it just means that if he was to admit or to say that they were executed because they were black and Muslim, that means that he has to acknowledge that there's a race issue, and then everything that plays out afterwards. So, you know, it's, I don't know, cut that out.
Get the mic close to you.
Okay, is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay, cool. So now we know that these boys were members of the East African diaspora. So all really young, under the ages of 25, Muhammad Taha Umar, who was 23, Adam Mekki, who's 20, Muhannad Tayrab, who's as young as 17. These are youth. These are young men, young boys who have lost their lives for what? You know, we know that they really enjoyed playing soccer. Yeah, we know that they really enjoyed playing soccer. We know that they were loved by their families and the community. And their lives were taken away just like that.
And it's just like even, you know, Muhannad, he's 17 years old. he is probably just finished high school or just about to start his final year of high school. Adam is 20 years old. Like, he's probably just starting university or trying to find out what the hell he's going to do with his life. And so is Muhammad Taha. Like, what? Like, I am 22 years old. You know what I mean? Like, I'm from East Africa. I am Muslim. I can, like, you know, it's scary when you think about these things and how they could be killed so tragically, so brutally, so inhumanely. And for that not to register, for that not to be something that media look at, something that social media doesn't drive up automatically, doesn't take a week before you realize someone has lost their life. You know what I mean? And I feel like we get desensitized by people dying, particularly when we see so many black people, Muslim people, and people of color dying so readily that they just fall into, like, you know, it's just another name. These people have families. And I was listening to a podcast earlier today where they were talking about a death of, I think, I forget his first name, I think his last name's McDonald, about, this is a really bad example, I'm forgetting the name, but, like,
yeah,
there was this kid, and at the time of Trayvon Martin dying, he was like to his father, "I look like Trayvon Martin." He put on a hoodie, and he's like, "Dad, I look like Trayvon Martin." And he died. He was killed because he was putting music too loud, and some guy shot him. And when you think about that, right, and we're desensitized by people dying, and they just become another statistic, and these boys are not statistics. These boys are living, we're living, breathing humans.
Yeah.
And they had stories. They liked to play soccer. They liked hanging out. They were going to a party before they were killed. They were socializing with their friends. And now they can't do that anymore.
It's a tragedy, and the silence is also a tragedy.
And the silence in the Muslim community it hurts me so much because we have this discussion of one ummah, one community,
yeah.
And when you can rally, when three people die, with the three people in Chabahul who died, when they died, you were like, "We got to talk about it. We got to talk about Islamophobia." But when these three boys die, when they're killed in the exact same fashion, just silence. Yeah. And it feels hollow in the sense that you can't... A lot of people talk about, like, the growing up in Muslim community, you're bred into this idea of community, of brotherhood, of sisterhood, of connectedness. And when you hear stories like this, kind of dies a little bit in you, like, you know what I mean? But it just, like, yeah, like, kind of lost for words.
Yeah, I mean, how surprised are you really at the silence?
I'm not surprised, but when it happens, you know what I mean? Like, you can expect silence, but when it happens to this scale and to this level, it's just, you're lost for words, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know where to go with it. You don't know how to act, what to say. People talking about, you know, like, and this is like a popular thing right now when people say, you know, hashtag, I accept my Arab privilege. Or like, I don't care what you say, you know what I mean? Like, let's forget about empty words, you know what I mean? You know, show actions. Everyone, like, I hate this this kind of, like, emptiness of in any sense, like, and just saying words and saying things like, you know, I understand, you know, I'm one of the good guys. I'm one of the good people. And I'm like, fuck off, mate. Like, just like, let's leave this emptiness and be real for a second.
I know exactly what you mean. The amount of times that especially this is in particular in the left or people who are political, who are engaging with the politics of race or politics of anyone who exists and what their bodies and identities represent. But I often come across this, like, so I'll meet someone, I'll have a conversation, and then one of the first things they'll say is this, like, I acknowledge that I'm blah, 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 blah. So I acknowledge that I'm white, or I acknowledge I'm, you know, male or rich or whatever. And it's always very strange to me because I feel like why are you telling me this? What is the point of you professing or...
What do you want?
Yeah, like...
Do you want a congratulations?
Do you or do you... Is that for you a way to prove to me that you're not anti-black or you're not these things? But for me, it's about living. Like, I want to see that you... I want to see that people live these things. You live an anti-black life and anti-racist life. Well, the living is more important than,
definitely, like,
than actually...
What's the point of... it's just like this thing, right? I see this so much. I'm like, all right, so I acknowledge that I've got this and this,
yeah,
but here's my opinion.
Yeah.
And it's a way to say, you know, I know all these things, but, like, I'm going to give you my opinion anyway, even though I probably shouldn't be speaking on this, even though I probably don't know what you're talking about, but I'll just tell you anyway.
Tony Abbott was really never a deeply popular figure among the electorate.
Tony Abbott faced some hostility of his own.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Dig it.
Oh, really?
And really the reason why his prime ministership has crumbled is because he lost the support of the electorate and ultimately the governing Liberal Party.
This is not an easy day for many people in this building. Leadership changes are never easy for our country.
The prime minister's not going to lose, he's going to win. The prime minister's not going to lose, he's going to win.
My pledge today is to make this change as easy as I can.
Goodbye, Tony. Bye-bye. Goodbye, Tony. Tony, time to go. Goodbye. Roll over. Knock and topic in the bed. Bye-bye, Tony.
So, we have something else that's not new to Australia. Liz Cambage is an Australian female professional basketball player. She blasted her teammate Alice Kunick, who dressed up in blackface as rapper Kanye West at a party. Now, the 24-year-old Cambage, whose father is Nigerian, conceded that she shouldn't have blasted Alice on Twitter, but wants to make people understand why she was offended. She also said, I've reached out to Anthony Moore and Channel 9. She also said she's given up her services to see if anyone, members of the board, players, want to sit down and talk with her about race issues in sport. Basketball Australia has promised to talk to players about racial and religious vilification at camps and competitions in the lead up to this year's Rio Olympics. She also said, looking back, I probably shouldn't have blasted Alice on social media. But at the end of the day, if you want to put things out into the public on social media, you should be called out for something publicly.
And, like, you know, like, the thing about this, right? I'm, like, thinking, why does she have to be the one that educates her? Why doesn't, I know it was mentioned there about Basketball Australia implementing this thing about talking about race and religion, but I'm thinking, why isn't these things already in place? And why does she have to feel like she needs to be the one to make the change? There should be, like, a systemic change. There should be a culture change in basketball in Australia. There should be diversity programs. There should be people told, like, all right, so this is offensive, and this is this, and this and that. Even though, like, blackface should already be known to be offensive. But even that, like, forget about that. But just, like, thing is, like, why isn't this, like a diversity program, understanding kind of, like, race, understanding things that are sexist, understanding things that are homophobic, transphobic, etc. All the horrible things that affect people. You know what I mean? Like, that should be a program that every company puts out. That should be something that is on the top of the list, because, you know, like, Alice Kunick probably did some really bad PR for the team that she plays on, for personally herself as an athlete. Endorsement deals, you know, maybe they might dry up. If she goes to the States, right? If she goes to the States, yeah, to play basketball or gets an American kind of endorsement deal, whatever it is, you know, they're going to look at that and they're going to think, is it worth getting the social media hassle that will come and all the stigma that will come by signing her up? You know what I mean? Or anything. You know what I mean? So it's in everyone's best interest to just, like, have a program like that appear and be be there. And, you know, like, and Liz Cambage shouldn't be the one doing this one-on-one. Hey, you know, like, I'm one of the few black and brown people on in this basketball scene, in the women's basketball scene right now. So, like, I'm going to teach every one of you white people about racism, you know, like.
It's ludicrous. I mean, what if, for example, she didn't know the history of blackface, or for her, it was just she saw that someone who belongs to a group who have power is essentially making a mockery of another group who don't have power. What if that was the basis of what her offense was, and she didn't have the ability. I mean, I guess for her, it's like she has the ability to actually teach about, you know, racism and all these things. But what if, I feel like there's this other burden on people of color to know so much about the history of racism and all these things in order to, like, teach white people just to be better people. I mean,
yeah, I mean, it's like this whole entire burden placed upon her, and, like, she's got her life. She's a basketballer as well.
Yep.
She's trying to work. She's trying to, like, live. She's trying to do all these things, and now she has to be the teacher.
That's the thing. And that's, again, one other privilege, or a thing that the dominant group don't have to live with. Like, I don't know. Like, I know for me, numerous times in classes where I've been the only person of color, or the only black person in class, and when the classes start talking about racism or anything to do with, like, people who look like me or people of color who don't look like me, but expect me to know the answers to things or to teach them about things, and I'm just like, dude, I'm a student here as well. Like, you're the teacher. How do you not know these things? Like, and again, it's you're put in this position of just, like, teach us, be our therapist, be our everything, because, you know, because ultimately, right, the solution is with us, right?
Yeah.
We have the solutions to this issue.
We have a secret, yeah? I wish we did have a secret, but, like I remember the time when I was in my film class that I was doing at uni, and classmates thought, while doing so they did a video of an exchange, and obviously they did, you know, a drug exchange, because the thing was an exchange of some kind.
Yeah.
So drug exchange, all white cast making this and on film and everything like that. So they thought it'd be cool to do the exchange, and then the text reply is like, the person that is, so the person who got the stuff gets a text from the supplier saying, like, did you get the stuff? And the reply is like, sweet, my N-word.
Yeah.
And the thing is, like, the thing that it does, not only does that person use the N-word, they associate drug dealers with black people. And ultimately, like, and in that video, I'm sitting there. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my tutor to say something. He's going over the whole video.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Again, seeing about, like, the shots that are taken, seeing how the things that are done in just, like, a technical level, and talking about it, and I'm waiting. He says nothing. So I feel like I have to say something. You know what I mean? And I say, like,
boom.
So,
and then,
should you be using the N-word?
So what do you do in that case?
Like, I spoke up.
Okay.
And I felt freaking horrible about speaking up, because I was the only, like, black person in that class.
Yeah.
And it was so hard.
Yeah.
The tutor's like, oh, yeah, no, like, then he kind of, like, settles it down. And I'm like, that was fucked up. Like, later on, the next class, I get a, I talk to the head of the subject and the tutor, and I'm like, he's like saying sorry, and he's new at this, and I'm like, so I don't care if you're new, I don't care if you're old, if you see that, you automatically call it out. There's no really, like, there's no experience in this. Like, when that happened, I was 20 years old.
Yeah.
I'm in my second year of uni, or was it first year? I forget. I think it was second year. And, like, if I can do it, why can't you?
It's disappointing, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
How, but I guess it's, again, it's a privilege of, like, not having to experience these things, so you have the option of either thinking about it or not thinking about it, right?
Yeah.
So this teacher's obviously gone there. I'm going to assume this teacher's taken the route of not really thinking about
it. Yeah,
he
hasn't thought about it, obviously.
You know, it's not really a big thing to him. But yeah, it's really, I just think how do you live on this earth for a certain amount of years and then you take a position that requires you to engage with people, right? And so people is not just white. People is lots of different people. People of color, women, LGBT, anyone, right? And how do you not have at least a baseline understanding that there are people in this world who do not live the life that I live, who do not experience the things that I experience. And there are things in this world that I will never have to experience, that I won't. And to just be a little aware of that, and not like, I'm not saying he needs to like have a PhD in like racism or anything like that, or race history.
Yeah, it just needs like, a base knowledge.
You know,
just
like,
the base knowledge.
You think that anyone saying the N-word in class would be like alarm bells?
Alarm bells.
Like,
yeah.
it's absolutely ludicrous. But you know, I've been in similar situations and I've handled it differently depending on the context. Like I never want to be a representative of black people, because we know that we're all different, we all have different opinions, we see life differently, we experience life differently, we experience racism differently. So the way I experience it is different to yours, right?
Mm.
And so I never want to speak on behalf of black people. But then in those certain contexts, you're just like, well, what am I going to do now? Like, I either speak and try and get my point across, and hopefully the teacher or someone can learn from that and can see that like these things have actual real life experiences attached to these, you know, words that for him or mean really nothing, or just a word that was, it's a part of the language. Or to just be like, no, I'm not gonna say anything, because I'm just sick and tired of being that person who is speaking, or, you know, because then we all know a lot of things happen. The consequences of that, we all know, you become the angry person, you become the aggressive person, you know, not that you are, but that's how it's perceived.
Put more beautiful people of colour on TV and connect viewers in ways which transcend race and unite us. That's the real Team Australia.
You know, you look at the American TV, British TV, it, you know, has, you know, it's got shows with different nationalities. And not just putting nationalities just for the point of difference, but creating work that caters for actors of different backgrounds.
In my mind, I see a line. And over that line, I see green fields and lovely flowers and beautiful white women with their arms stretched out to me over that line. But I can't seem to get there no how. I can't seem to get over that line. That was Harriet Tubman in the 1800s. And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there.
And now we're going to our featured segment, and you know, we all know the comedic landscape is incredibly wide, and that leads to a lot of bad jokes. And when I mean bad, I mean racist. And I see you looking at me like that, Muggan. You know what I'm talking about. You've seen those jokes. I want to say the N-word, and I want to joke about black people. I want to talk about people of color in a funny way. I'm edgy. I'm white, and they don't often go very well, especially when you think about like the people that consume comedy at large, like that kind of comedy, being white people, and how it really isn't kind of like. Do you know when you have comedy that makes fun of yourself?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like self-deprecating, I think that's the term. Yeah. And it's like, you know, oh, look at me, I'm stupid. Oh, look, I forget things. It's in a kind of way to do the, it's intended to do the opposite, to make fun of, you know, like black and brown people and kind of make them feel less than. And I've seen that so often and like there's this one clip that I'm going to play right now, and it's, and for anyone who's doubting me about mainstream comics being incredibly, you know, like offensive. This is Louis C.K., really, really renowned comic, one of the more famous ones of our time. And he uses the N-word a lot of times in this skit. I don't know why. Maybe he can tell us why one day. But here is his rendition of the N-word.
I thought the word nigger the other day. I'm going to tell you this story. And it wasn't racist. It wasn't a race even connotation. Let me tell you what happened. I went to a coffee place, and it was a cool indie coffee. I don't like Starbucks anymore, because you go there, and they don't care anymore. They just press a button, and some old lady's diarrhea comes out, and they just give it to you. So I go to, like, a young people cool coffee place with, like, my band's playing notices on the walls, and it's called, like, the howling do whatever thing, and... The dude behind the counter's got a tight T-shirt and a ponytail, and he's like, "Hey, what's up, man?" And I was like, "Hey, can I get a cappuccino?" And he's like, "Yeah, right on, totally." Like, he's amazed that he could help me. Like, "Oh yeah, I got all this stuff right here. That's awesome." And so he starts making my coffee. Just so he works so hard, he ground the beans just for that one cup. And put them in the thing and tamped them with this old thing, and you click, clack, and click, and then he took the milk and he frothed it like for like an hour, and then he banged it on the counter. I don't know why, it was awesome, and he scooped it in and put a little cocoa on it, and he's like, "Here you go, man." And I was just blown away. And for some reason, as I left there, the thought in my head was, that nigger made the shit out of my coffee. I don't know why. He wasn't black. That's just what was in my heart for some reason. Was that nigger made the shit out of my coffee. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. Like, it's just like, why? Like, why is that a joke that he has? Like, I'm stumbling right now. Like, I don't know what was the purpose of that joke.
Man. Like, first of all, that was a long minute and a half to listen to his mess.
Hey, listeners, I deeply apologize for that. It was very bad joke. That got, you notice he got a lot of laughs.
For sure. I mean, I just think if you are going to rely on making fun of minority groups to get across your jokes, like, how funny are you really? Like, it doesn't take much skill to use what is already thought of people. Like, it just, what skill...
Well, wait, hold on, my God. You know, like, he does it. He also, you know, this is not the only clip, right? So, he's also a bit homophobic,
I'm sure. You know, when I come across someone who's, like, racist, I assume they're either also sexist and homophobic and all these things because they all interlink. Like, I can't, like...
Yeah, they
do. It makes sense. Like, I'm not surprised at all.
Here's Louis C.K.'s homophobia rubbish.
Is this another, like, long minute and a half of, like, this guy's a mess?
this is a bit shorter, but, like, still okay. Horrible.
All right.
Hey, faggot, how you doing? Sorry. I called him a faggot. I miss that word, you know? I grew up saying that word, and it never meant gay. When I was a kid... I didn't know what gay was. No, I hadn't been told that people do that. I had no fucking idea. Faggot didn't mean gay. When I was a kid, you call somebody faggot because they're being a faggot, you know? Someone's just being a faggot. Shut up, faggot. Man, I'm supposed to use those for that. Shut up, faggot. Didn't mean, like, I would never call a gay guy a faggot unless he's being a faggot. But not because he's gay, you understand?
Yeah, no, it's not because they're gay, but it's just because, you know, they're being that, you know? And it's just like, but also, this guy's incredibly famous. He wins tons of awards, and he makes profit by being incredibly homophobic, incredibly racist, and, like, it's just, I honestly don't get why no one says anything. And it's not, and he's not the only one. There are tons of others.
I don't even know what to say. It's such a, it's so boring. It's so like, it just, what skill do you like?
What skill does it, like, it's really, the thing is, like, this comedy is basically saying, you know, like, slurs. That's all it is. It's like saying homophobic slurs, saying racist slurs. And then just, like, having a crowd of people laugh at it because they're probably sexist, homophobic, racist, and all those things. And they find that, they find dehumanizing people like that funny. And that has a whole lot of currency with that.
Totally. It just, it's like, you know, when, do you remember in primary school and then, or in high school, and then there's that, like, cool person or whatever. And then, like, he's the center of the attention, the center of the class, or in the playground, or at the basketball, whatever. And he's just controlling the conversation, and he's just like making fun of everyone who isn't quote unquote perfect. So he's making fun of the, I don't know, the short dude, or the person who's overweight, or the woman, or the person that to him looks funny. And it's absolutely tasteless. It takes no creativity. It takes no ability to, I don't even know what I'm saying right now, but it's just, it's messy. Anyway, it's messy, and it needs to stop.
And
now the piece De Resistant by Amy Schumer, who's famous for calling out sexism and trying to make space for women in comedy. Well, unless they're white women. Dun, 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 dun. And here's a sketch of her making a mockery of her black friend.
Her one black friend.
Yeah, one. Woman.
I love joking about race. It's like my favorite. I was talking about this the other day. I was hanging out with literally all my black friend. And I remember I was like, Temembe or whatever, tapestry, it's something wild, you know? And what was she saying? She was like, girl, like, I won't do some racist impression, so don't worry. But she was like, girl. I mean, we were like mid-double Dutch. And I'm just like, stop yelling, we're not at the movies.
Yeah. See, like, the thing about Amy Schumer that really, really, like, I don't get,
yeah,
is, like, she talks about sexism and what she experiences as a woman in comedy and everything like that, and she's making fun of black women.
Wait, Ahmed, you've got to stop there. You've got to stop that. You do realize that some people are narcissistic and they only see from their own world. So she cares about sexism, aka white women experience in the world, because she is that. So, like, it's not actually a shock to me, because this happens all the time. You see gay white men who, like, essentially shit on people of color who think nothing of racism, but will will so eloquently articulate their experiences of living in a world that's you know
heteronormative.
Yeah, heteronormative. Yeah. But will then dismiss all
other experiences.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is actually very normal.
It is normal, but like I just feel like you experience trauma, you experience oppression.
Yeah.
Understand the oppression that other people face as well.
Yeah.
And she loves joking about racism.
Yeah.
And shitting on people of color. Yeah. She does that all the time. That's her shtick. That's what she does. And like I remember like a few weeks ago or maybe a month a bit, this news reporter, this white dude, was being incredibly sexist how he spoke about her on Twitter, and then she called him out on it, and that was cool. But like people call her on racism, and she's like super defensive and like, oh, but like I'm not racist, and yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
I have that one black friend that I make fun of.
That one black friend that I'm making fun of their name and saying they're a tapestry. And then I'm saying like, oh, you know, obviously all black women and girls, you know, they do double dutch or blah, blah, blah. Oh, and they're so loud as well, you know, like obviously, you know, especially at movies, why can't they shut up? And I'm like thinking to myself, what the? And she has another joke where she jokes about experiencing racism.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, she is in kind of like this group of the really kind of racist white comics. Like Sarah Silverman, who does the blackface, like her, and it's just, I'm just wondering, how does, like, this literally gets them currency. Louis C.K. is incredibly famous. Amy Schumer has a new show on HBO, and, you know, like, they're just making fun of black and brown people and moving up the ladder, and it's just like, this has become a kind of a new thing. Like, not necessarily new, but like, even though there is all this like social justice things that happen, even though like HBO have shows talking about race or anything like that, or presenters that are talking about like racism and everything like that, they have like, you know, even that's there, they also have a segment and a spot for someone who's going to be racist. You know what I mean? It's just like, it's like, oh, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, no, it doesn't. I always feel like people like her or anyone who only looks at their forms of oppression only and don't consider other forms of oppression, I feel like that's just another way of
exacting dominance?
Yes, but also not really wanting to quote-unquote dismantle
a system,
yeah. But wanting in on the system, if that makes sense. Wanting to be part of the system, right? Because part of her is excluded because she's a woman, right? So she'll articulate and, you know, call out or, you know, really talk about being a woman and what that means in the world. But I feel like wanting to dismantle that would require her to think about people outside of her own reality. Like, but that's for a lot of people. I mean, it just happens all the time. And I just feel like, if I am talking about anti-racism or anti-blackness, you know, as a black person, and then I consciously, like, for lack of better words, shit on other groups that I don't in line with regards to experience, then how much of my own oppression do I really want to dismantle, if that makes sense?
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense. But
no, and also like it's the thing about like the empathy, right? Can you actually feel a sense of empathy for another person? Can you actually envision how they might feel? And clearly there's so often cases where like people just can see themselves and can't necessarily see like the experience that someone else might face. And why? Because it doesn't include them, and it doesn't. And that alone is, like you said, it's so narcissistic, it's so self-absorbed. It is just like, how are you better than the oppression that you face from the people that are oppressing you if you are continuing that line of oppression? And I guess that's kind of like a moot point we're hitting right now. That's our show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. Don't forget, you can, you know, you find us a number of places: iTunes, Acast, websites called racecardpodcast.com, Twitter. We've got a new Twitter handle. I've kind of played around with it. It's called racecardpod. At racecardpod, you can find us on Twitter. We've got a Tumblr. Ooh, Tumblr. Hey, everyone loves Tumblr, don't they? We've got a Tumblr. It's called racecardpodcast.tumblr.com. Find us on Tumblr. See what we've reblogged. See our posts. We are cool. We're the cool kids on the blogs. Hey, cool kids on the blogs. Follow us there. I'm Ahmed Yusuf. You can follow me as well at Ahmed Yusuf 10. And how can we find you on the interwebs, my friend?
On Twitter at Muggin9.
Nice.
The number 9, not
the number 9.
Yeah.
Also the number 10, because I'm the number 10. that's a football analogy, saying like I'm the creative, kind of like, you know, the creative force in this team. And the number 9 is obviously the striker. You score the goals. I put them on the plate. You take care of it. All right. All right. You've been listening to Race Card. Hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be back next week. Hopefully, this is goodbye from me.
Bye bye.
Hope you enjoyed it. See ya. Bye.
Why couldn't Amina make it today? Because you know this show is not going to be as good because Amina's not here and you've replaced me. Like, FYI, I'm just...
Yeah. All right. Let's start.
Okay.
By the way, do you know when you just said, why couldn't Amina make it? You know this is not going to be as good?
Yeah.
That's going to go at the end as a blooper. But just by the way, full disclosure. Full disclosure, man. I'm being real with you right now. I'm being real. This is... Hey, mics are on. Beware what you say, my friend. Beware.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.